Your online feature will begin in just a moment. First, let me remind you that if you have a question of a spiritual nature or a question about anything you hear on BBN, we can chat about it. Click bbnchat.org.
It is Teen Week here at the Bible Broadcasting Network. All of our messages this week on BBN's conference pulpit are just for teens. And if you are the parent of a teen, we hope that you have your young person with you this evening. If you are a teen, welcome to tonight's broadcast. These messages are from the Wiles Bible Camp in Brevard, North Carolina. And our speaker this evening is Willie Parton. He is the program manager at the Wiles, and he is appreciated by teens and adults alike for his great sense of humor and practical teaching from God's Word. This evening's message is titled, The Tongue. And so now we hear from Willie Parton.
James chapter 3. All right, as we begin this morning, let's have a word of prayer and ask God to help us have our hearts in tune with what he would have for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would, again, help the things that you care about be the passion of our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to hold the things of earth loosely and to pursue the things of Christ and the things that we see in your word. Lord, I pray that as we go through this passage this morning, that you will instruct our hearts and allow your spirit to be our teacher and guide. As we go through this, I pray that you would help us and just unlock these truths to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, as we already talked about, we're going to be talking about something, guys, that affects each one of us. And there's not a one of us in here that have to deal with what we're going to be talking about this morning. And that's the area of our speech and what we say. The book of James, and this is where we're going to be, I think it's interesting that we have a whole chapter in the book of James devoted to one thing. And we don't see that a whole lot in Scripture as far as we might see a main thought, but this right here, the whole book, the whole chapter, chapter 3 in the book of James, is devoted to our speech and the things we say. And it falls very much in line with the purpose of the book of James. The purpose of the book of James is this. He is instructing Christians. He is instructing Christians on how to be mature. How many of you want to be mature in life one day? Yeah, I hope we all do, okay? Now, there are going to be some times in our lives when we're immature. We do some things that are immature. We say some things that are immature. And we will progress in this as we get older. But James, the writer here in this book, is saying, listen, if you're a believer, then there's got to be certain things in your life that show that you are a believer. And we're not talking about a works-based salvation, okay? But when you know Christ, there are certain things in your life that are going to start being true about you. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is the area of our speech and the area of what we say. And guys, we have got to make sure that the things we say line up with how the Bible teaches us to live. It's very important. And we've got to make sure that is true in each one of our lives. James chapter 3, again, we'll start, we won't talk about the first couple of verses in depth. We'll actually get into verse 3 and start dealing with that. But let me go ahead and start in verse 1. It says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. He's giving a warning here. He said, listen, if you desire to have to be a teacher, then you better be careful, because you're going to be under careful scrutiny in your life. Okay, that's basically what he's talking about in verse 1. Then he gets in verse 2. He says, and this is why. He says, for in many things we offend all. And we're going to be talking about this today in James chapter 3. He says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. And again, he's talking about what we say here and the speech that we have. That word offend means to stumble. It's a pretty drastic word. It's not just a little fall. It's a major plummet. And he's saying, for many, in many things, we offend all, okay? And he says, listen, you can't do that in this way. He says, if any man offend in word, he says this, the same is a perfect man. Now, he's not saying, listen, you're going to be perfect and you're never going to sin. Again, that word perfect means to be mature. It means to grow in Christ and say, you know what? My life is going to back up who I claim to be. And he's saying the main way that we show that we are maturing in Christ is the fact that we can control what we say. He says, if you're going to be somebody who's mature, then you're going to be able to bridle the whole body. Basically, what he's saying is, when you do this, your lifestyle and what you say is going to manifest who you claim to be and what's in your heart. And guys, I don't want you to kind of skip over this and think, you know what, this is really not that important of a session. Guys, this is crucial to our life. And if you struggle in the area of your tongue, and guys, this we can talk about a lot of different areas of how our tongue can offend. The Bible talks about the tongue in this way. I want you to get this. This is not a pretty picture. The Bible calls the tongue wicked, deceitful, perverse, filthy, corrupt, flattering, slanderous, gossiping, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, vile, and there's many more. Guys, that's not a pretty picture. And if you are participating in these things, let me say this. I want everybody to look at me right now. Everybody look at me. If you have a wicked tongue, you are not showing that you are a believer. My question is this, do you care? And this is what we're going to be talking about, guys. If you're a Christian, if you say, yes, I claim the name of Christ, I want to please God, then guys, it's got to show with what we say. And in this day and age, it's not just what we say, it's what we text. What if I took your phone and I looked at it and I looked at the text over the last week? What would it say? Guys, if there is corrupt language in there, if there's sensual language, if there's jokes that you shouldn't be saying, guys, does that match up with who you claim to be? And right now, right off the bat, that should be convicting. And I really truly hope that you, and pray, I have been praying, that you would desire to have a life that matches and words that match who you claim to be. Because he says, listen, if we're going to offend, we got to make sure we don't offend in word. He says that if we don't do that, we'll be perfect, we'll be complete, we'll be mature. And if you can control your tongue, guess what? You can control your whole body. That's what he's saying right here. If you're able to control your tongue, you're able also to bridle the whole body. You know why? Because the tongue is the hardest thing to control. And I'll say this again. Let me say this. You will not be able to control your tongue in and of yourself. You can't determine right off the bat and say, you know what? I've got to be careful. I can't say certain things. I can't talk about certain things. I can't accidentally say certain things. He's saying, you know what? You know who has to be able to control your tongue? It is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will control your tongue. When your heart is right, and we'll talk about this, when your heart is right, guess what? What comes out of your mouth will be right as well. And it's got to be that base truth. And so how do we get to the point where the Holy Spirit controls our tongue? Guys, you've got to be in the Word. You're going to hear this over and over again this week. If you are not in the Bible, you will not be mature. You will not control your tongue. We've got to get to that point, guys. For many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. We're going to be looking at two thoughts this morning. We're going to be looking, number one, at the wicked tongue, okay? And a little bit later, we're going to see the wise tongue. The two different sides. The wicked tongue, the area of the life that does not show that you have a relationship with God. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with God, but you're not showing that you do. When you use what we're going to be talking about. However, when we get to the wise tongue that we'll hit at the very end, that shows you have a relationship with God. Which one are you? Which one do you desire to be? Maybe you've struggled in the past, but guys, that can change. And this morning, I'm pleading with you to ask God to help you change your heart and in turn, change the tongue that you might have in the wicked tongue. We're going to be talking about the wicked tongue. I love what James does here. He's good at illustrations. I, I, I'm a, I'm a guy that kind of thinks in pictures. I've lived that way. I like cool things. I'm a child, basically. And I like to be able to use an analogy or to see the picture. And James does a perfect job here of describing certain things, okay? And right here, he starts off and he gives us illustration after illustration. He says, this is the tongue is like this, and the tongue is like this. And guys, we shouldn't allow our tongue to be there and to be like those things. But I love what he does here. Number one, the wicked tongue controls. The wicked tongue will control you. It will guide you. How many of you have ever lost control of anything? Anybody? All right. Not a fun feeling. Maybe you've driven go-karts or something like that, and you've been going too fast. You go around a corner and you lose control. Okay? I remember one time, this is when I was first starting to ride a motorcycle. When I was in high school, college, but I was first starting to ride a motorcycle, and I was at church, and I had a buddy that had a motorcycle. It was a nice motorcycle. And I was like, hey, can I ride your bike? He's like, do you know how? I was like, yeah, of course. I knew how, but there's a lot different than knowing how and getting on and being able to ride, okay? It's a lot more difficult than you might think. This is where my tongue got me in trouble. I told him, I said, yeah, I know how to ride. Just Lee, let me ride that thing. So my first mistake is the fact that the motorcycle was facing the church. And so I got on this motorcycle. And if you know anything about motorcycles, you've got to release the clutch and give it some fuel at the right time. You know what I did? I dumped the clutch and gave it full throttle. That was stupid. And because the church was right, I ran smack into the side of my church. Destroyed my leg. Destroyed Lee's motorcycle. He wasn't real excited. And, that was not a fun feeling to lose control. Have you ever lost control of anything? It's not safe. It's not good. It's dangerous. It can hurt. Losing control is not a fun thing. That's not me. Guys, in the same way, guys, losing control of what you say is not a good thing. We've always got to rein it back in. We've got to get to the point where we understand certain things. We've got to make sure we can control. Because what does he say right here in this passage in verse 3? He says in verse 2 again, he says, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. So right off the bat, we see his first illustration. He uses the word bridle, okay? And then he goes into this and says, and uses the first illustration in verse 3. He says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. For what purpose? That they might obey us. And we turn about their whole body. And that's the first illustration. We put like bits in the horse's mouth. This is what the tongue is. You guys understand what a bit is. It's that little piece that goes in the mouth. And you can pull on the reins, and the horse, if it's put in correctly, will go that direction. I totally didn't understand this until a few years ago. My family and I went on vacation. I had two kids at the time, and my oldest at the time was about 3 years old. My little girl, she's three, and she was petite, okay? And she wanted to ride a horse. I'm like, I just kept pushing her off. And my wife says, kept coming back to me, she really would like to ride a horse. I was like, nah. And she really liked to ride a horse. Nah, she wants to ride a horse. Okay. And so basically we get to that point, and so we're on vacation, and my wife finds this number, says, here's a horse stable. Let's go here. Let's have Kaylee ride a horse. Of course, Kaylee was super excited. And we get to this, okay, in the picture of my mind of riding a horse, and the picture in other people's minds is not the same. We get to this horse stable, and I'm looking for that little paddock with the circles where the little Shetland ponies are riding around attached, and it was like, okay, that's cute. Well, we get there and we say, you know, our daughter would like to ride a horse, and so she goes, okay, great, come on this way. And she takes us down from passing all the little horses, and she takes us to this barn, and we walk down, and I'm seeing these horses like, probably not best. Okay, oh, she probably has the small horses back down the end. We get down to the very last stall. I turn, and she goes, this is the horse your daughter's going to be riding. She's three, okay? This is the horse your daughter's going to be riding. I turn and look, and this thing was a monster. It was bigger than this room. No joke. It was the biggest horse I'd ever seen. I'm thinking, my, no way. And my wife is like, I think that's a good idea. And so So we allowed her to do it. And I got an 18-foot ladder and I crawled up to the top and I put my daughter on this horse. And I'm thinking, what kind of a father am I to be able to do this? I'm an overprotective parent. I mean, I used to wrap my kids up in bubble wrap to send them out to play, okay? So it wasn't a necessarily a good thing. But we put my daughter on this horse, and lo and behold, I find that this horse is the most docile thing. My little three-year-old daughter was on the side of this monster, was on top of it, and my daughter would pull on the reins this way, and the horse would go this way. She'd pull on the rein this way, and the horse would go this way. My daughter, very small, controlled something very large. That's the illustration, but he doesn't stop here. He says this. It's like a rudder on a ship. Look at verse 4. This is why I want you to stay close. We're going to stay close to the word. We're going to use what the Bible says. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Second illustration. Behold also the ship, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm. And there's the illustration. Very large ships controlled in perspective by very small rudders. And guys, this is what he's saying. He says, listen, the things you say can control. It's not a good thing to be controlled by your tongue. You have got to allow the Holy Spirit to control your heart and, in essence, allow your words to be controlled. Because look what it says right there. I want you to look down in verse 4. He says, it turned about with a very small helm, and here it is, whithersoever the governor listeth. And here's where he applies it. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. And he is saying it turns about this whole ship whithersoever the governor listeth. You know what? The rudder doesn't have a mind of its own. You know where it goes? It goes wherever the governor of the ship tells it to go. And guys, your words go wherever your heart tells it to go. So if your heart is impure, guess what? Your words will be as well. And that's what I'm saying. We've got to get down to the heart of the matter. We've got to change our heart. And that takes the Holy Spirit using God's word. I can't tell you this. God has to change the way you talk. Whithersoever the governor listeth. On October 15th, 2003, at 3:21 p.m., the Staten Island ferry vessel Andrew Barbera crashed full speed into a concrete pier at the St. George Ferry Terminal. The 310-foot ferry was at the end of its five-mile trek across to Manhattan from St. George. On board was approximately 1,500 passengers. But instead of docking, the ferry angled away from its berth and slammed full speed into a concrete pier, the maintenance pier supported by some pilings. The pier ripped into the ferry's starboard side and tore into the boat's main deck, where many passengers were crowded forward to disembark. They were already on that side of the ship ready to go. But the ship slammed full force into that pier. In the aftermath, 11 people were killed. 71 others were injured. It wasn't the rudder's fault. The ferry's pilot, Richard Smith, attempted to commit suicide while he was still on the boat. He wasn't successful then. He slipped away so suddenly that he left his house keys behind. And he was found shortly afterwards at his house. He had broken in and apparently had tried to commit suicide again, unsuccessful. It was later determined that Smith had lost consciousness while at the ship's controls. He had taken painkillers, tramadol and Tylenol PM, both of which can cause drowsiness and side effects. Something was wrong with the governor of the ship, and in turn, destroyed a lot of things. Guys, when your heart is wrong, what you say will be wrong. And if there are things that you have been saying and talking about, again, in a lot of different ways, and something's wrong with your heart, and it needs to change. And what has to, how does this change? You get on your knees and saying, God, I don't want to be this way. Please forgive me. And allow the Holy Spirit to use his word to change your heart. If you struggle with loving somebody, guess what? Get into the Bible and see how God loved you. Allow that to change you, because God chose to love you as wicked as you are. Is it anything for us to be able to love somebody else? Not only does the wicked tongue control, but the wicked tongue consumes. And we go into our next illustration. He says in verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Now, this word boast doesn't necessarily mean it's bragging, okay? It actually is saying, you know what? The tongue has power to do certain things. That's what the tongue does. And then he says this, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And I think we've seen these illustrations before. Verse 6 says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. And herein, we see our next illustration. But I think it's interesting how James says the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth. The tongue is like the rudder on a ship. You see what he says here? Does he use the simile is gone. You know what? Do you see what he says now? He says the tongue is a fire. And what is he meaning by this? It can damage a lot. You've all seen pictures of what fires can do. On October 8, 1871, Miss O'Leary's cow kicked a lantern over and caught Chicago on fire. Whoops. But before it was over, 17,500 people, buildings were destroyed. 125,000 people were left homeless, and over 300 people died. That fire was contained in a small lantern, and it was fine. But it ignited something, and it destroyed a lot. The tongue is a fire. And he doesn't just tell us, okay, the tongue is a fire. He tells us why the tongue is a fire. He tells us right here, it defiles the whole body. Look down here. It says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members. That what, number one, what does it do? It defileth the whole body. What does that mean? It is so destructive that it stains and damages the whole body. It damages your testimony. That's what it means. It defiles the whole body. You say one wrong thing, guys, guess what? Your testimony's shot. And now there's a lot of work that it takes to recover, just like a fire. It takes a long time to build back what a fire destroys. And you can say one wrong word and it will destroy so much. And it will damage your testimony. Maybe for so long you've been saying, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian and this is what I do. And then one thing you do and it can damage. Guys, we've got to be so in tune with what the Holy Spirit teaches us. We are guided by this. And when we're tempted to say the wrong word, We learn by the Holy Spirit to control it. The tongue will consume. It will defile the whole body. But not only that, he says this in that verse, it setteth on fire the course of nature. What does that mean? It doesn't just hurt your body. It doesn't just hurt you. It hurts the whole course of your life and everybody around. The tongue can be so dangerous. How many of you have experienced that? Raise your hand. If you've experienced the fact something, maybe somebody has said something about you, or you've heard somebody say something about somebody else, and you've seen the damage it caused, raise your hand. Raise it high. That's pretty close to 100%. Guys, do you see how dangerous the tongue is? But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say it defiles the whole body. He doesn't just say it setteth on fire the course of nature. But look what it says next. And is set on fire of hell. You know what that means? Your tongue can be used as a tool of Satan. This wickedness that we're talking about, guess where it comes from? Our wicked hearts. But it was bred in hell. And Satan loves to see you destroy somebody else with your words. He loves this. Who do you want to please? The God who created you, who loves you enough to send his son to die for you, is that who you want to please? Or do you want to please the one who would love to see you destroyed? You say the wrong thing. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It is used as a tool of Satan. Guys, we've all seen, maybe read, illustrations of a tongue destroying. You say one wrong, one hurtful thing to somebody else, and guess what? You have no idea what's going on in that person's heart. You could push them in a way that would cause them to want to destroy themselves. For instance, his name was Brandon Bittner. He's a 14-year-old boy. He didn't have a lot of friends. He was tormented every day that he went to school. People mocked him. They made fun of him. And on November 10th, 2010, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he walked 6 miles to a busy intersection. And he jumped in front of a truck and killed himself. Think about another young girl. Her name was Megan Meyer. Had a lot of different things going on in her heart. She attended different schools, that every single one she was bullied. Her parents decided to send her to another school. Soon after she got there, she opened up a MySpace account. It's a whole nother message, guys. These social media. Then Meyer received a message, supposedly from a 16-year-old boy named Josh Evans, but actually it was sent by a lady by the name of Lori Drew, who had a daughter in the school that Megan went to, and this daughter had been constantly bullying Megan. That bullying went home. She had a bunch of friends over, and they decided to look her information up on MySpace, and the mom actually got involved and was joking about it as well, and they opened up this account, and they put this fabricated picture in this MySpace account, and this fabricated boy started a conversation with Megan. They became online friends. Meyer began to exchange messages with this person and was described by having her spirits lifted because she's found somebody that was kind to her, seemingly. On October 15, 2006, the tone of the messages between the two changed, where Josh Evans, actually was Lori Drew, via the account said, "I don't know if I want to be friends with you anymore." He said a number of other things as well. Similar messages were posted to other social media sites. Bulletins were posted about her. The last message that Lori Drew, the mom of this friend, the last message was sent by Josh Evans, the fabricated boy, said this: "Everybody in O'Fallon, Missouri hates you. They know who you are. You're a bad person." They said, "Have a bad rest of your life." The rest of her life lasted 20 minutes. And she had killed herself. Obviously, there were other things going on in Megan's heart, Brandon's heart. But words sent them over the edge. And I can't help but think, what if somebody would have come to them and says, "You know what, Megan? You know what, Brandon? God loves you. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. You know what? I'm going to love you as well." Guys, there might be some of this hurtful, bitter bullying going on within your school. Guys, you have no idea what's going on in the heart. And if this is happening, guess what? It needs to change if you're going to desire to be like God. Maybe you don't see eye to eye with this person. Maybe you don't like this person in certain areas. You know what? That doesn't matter. You choose to love everybody. Christ chose to love you, and he knows your heart, how wicked you are. And he chose to love me in the exact same way. As we see in Ephesians chapter 5, he's telling us, listen, walk in love, even as Christ loved you. And guys, you see this type of stuff happening, and somebody's hurting somebody else with their words, guys, step in. Tell them to knock it off, especially in a Christian school. That shouldn't be named once. And maybe you've been involved in this. And guys, my challenge to you is when this session is over, when this chapel time is over, go to that person if they're here and ask them to forgive you. Because you look nothing like Christ when you do that. You look nothing like Christ when your words hurt. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to ask the other person to forgive you because you need to have it. Because we see in Acts 24:16, a conscience void of offense before God and man. You deal with it in that way. You have no idea what's going on in the heart. Guys, the tongue is a fire. It consumes and destroys everything in its path. Not only do we see that the tongue is the control, not only do we see the tongue consumes, but we see the wicked tongue is not compliant. We see this in verses 7 and 8. It says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tameable and hath been tamed of mankind. But then you look at verse 8, it says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We've said this over and over again. It's right. The tongue cannot tame. He's saying, he gives the illustration. He says, you know what? Every type of animal can be tamed. I think possibly the only type of animal that can't be tamed is the cat. And we used to have this cat. His name was Caleb. That's Hebrew for dog. And this cat, we couldn't tame it. When it wanted to come in, it let us know. It would jump on the screen of our window and just hang there. I so often wanted to take one wire and attach it here and one wire attach it here and plug it. I didn't. I wanted to. But then we couldn't tame it to not do that. That cat was out of control. It would run into our living room and it would jump up in the chimney for some reason. I have no idea. It would just blaze into the living room and jump up the chimney. One time my son and I were sitting on the couch and we were kind of goofing around, kind of wrestling, and all of a sudden the cat ran into the living room and jumped up into the chimney. And my son, being of the same mindset that I was, he looked at me and goes, let's light it. I was like, no, son, we don't burn kitties in the house. That's reserved for outdoors. And just kidding. But guys, the Bible says right here, listen, every type of animal on earth can be tamed. But what does he say? The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. Guys, are you seeing this picture of how wicked the tongue can be? How devastating it can be? The Holy Spirit must be the one who controls our tongue. So not only is the tongue not compliant, it's not tameable in and of ourselves, but the wicked tongue contradicts. We see this over and over again. Let me read verses 9 through 12. He says, wherefore, talking about the tongue, again, we bless we God, even the Father, and therefore, with curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Does that match up, guys? We go to church and we bless God, but we leave and we curse man? That's contradicting. Verse 10 gives us an illustration. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. And what does he say? My brethren, he's talking, Christians, this thing can't be this way. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Then he gives the illustration. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No, it doesn't. It's either pure water or it's bitter water. Another illustration. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And guys, listen, we've said it before and I'm saying it again. If you have wicked words coming out of your mouth, but you claim to be Christ, you contradict who you claim to be. And you look nothing like Christ, and nobody will be able to tell. You say, come on, Willie, it only matters what God thinks. You know what? Absolutely, it matters what God thinks, most importantly, but that is not true. It does matter what others think. Because when you do say you claim to know Christ and you contradict it with your life, you better believe that matters. Because now you're not just damaging yourself, you're damaging the name of Christ. And that matters. Guys, we've seen a very ugly picture of what the wicked tongue looks like. And James says, listen, guys, these things ought not so to be. And some of you need to get on your hands and knees and ask God to forgive you. And ask God to give you grace to not be this way. To not have the wicked tongue, but have the wise tongue. He continues with this chapter and he says, listen, this is what the wicked tongue has looked like, but this is what the wise tongue and the things that protrude out of a mouth that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, this is what it looks like. The true Christian will desire to be wise in every area of his life, and that must include what he says. Look at verse 13. He says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? He says, if you're wise, how does he say we show that? Verse 13, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You need to show it in the same things you say. And that word conversation can mean lifestyle as well. Every aspect of your life. But he says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not, lie not against the truth. Stop acting this way. Stop having a wicked tongue. Have a wise tongue. And then he gives us a list of things that show that you have a wise tongue. And here it is. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Talking about the wicked tongue. He says, listen, that comes from, it is scraped off the very sidewalks of hell. That's where it comes from, this wicked speech. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. And he says, listen, you're just throwing a wrench into the whole thing. You don't look anything like Christ. But, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. The things that should come out of our mouth are pure. What does that mean? It means free from contamination, free from sin, free from wickedness. If the Bible says it's sin, then it shouldn't be talked about in that way as far as jesting or laughing at or anything like that. It's sin. It's got to be pure. Then what? It has to be peaceable. What does that mean? It doesn't instigate conflict. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, if you're going to, blessed is the man who is a peacemaker, who doesn't instigate conflicts, who actually tries to see two warring factions come to truth. It's got to be peaceable, but not only that, it's gentle. What does that mean? Your speech has to be kind and easy to talk to. You should be the person in your school as somebody wants to come when they have a problem. They can come to you and either knock on your door or come to you wherever you are and say, hey, you got a second that I can talk about something? I'm struggling in this area, and I know that you exemplify Christ, and I want you to pray with me. You should be that person. Are you? It's gentle, easy to be entreated. What does that mean? Willing to yield in a dispute. You don't always have to be right. Easy to be entreated is contrary to proud. Always got to have your way. Always defending you. easy to do, guys. Be teachable. The speech that has to be, that exemplifies the heart of a Christian, the words of a Christian, is full of mercy. What does that mean? Merciful. Concern and compassion for people. The antithesis of bullying that we just talked about. Not only that, it's full of good fruits. And the things that drip off of your tongue should be something that is healthy and good and loving and that exemplifies Christ and Christ would be happy with. It's without partiality. What does that mean? It treats everyone equally. I don't like this person more than this person. I don't say, oh, hey, you come over here and sit here because I don't like that person. It treats everyone equally. Not only that, it's without hypocrisy. It's sincere. It doesn't say one thing and live the other. It's not like the fountain that spews out bitter water and fresh water, seemingly. Because those things should not be. Guys, the wicked tongue should not be a part of our life at all. What does that look like? Filthy jokes. Jesting. You know what that means? It means taking something innocent, and by one or two words, you flip it around and make it filthy. Some of you are professionals at this. We don't take God's name in vain. We don't say, oh my, and then place the name of God. Or even gosh or gee or anything like that, guys. Those are all taking God's name in vain. You know what it means to take God's name in vain? It means to not think. When somebody lets that roll off their tongue, they're not thinking when they use that. And every time that we talk about God, it should be with purpose, and not flippant. Or even the euphemism that comes from that. Guys, be careful. The wicked tongue looks like filthy jokes. It looks like jesting. It looks like taking God's name in vain. It looks like lying. We might have some chronic liars in here. Wow. That looks nothing like Christ. Truth constantly came from Christ's mouth. Truth should constantly come from your mouth, even if telling the truth might get you in trouble. It's worse to lie about it and be wrong with God than tell the truth, be right with God, and maybe have some consequences. There will be consequences. But don't lie, guys. With a wicked tongue looks like gossip. Getting together with a few of your friends and talking about certain people when it's meant to tear them down and hurt them. None of that looks like Christ. So guys, how are you doing in the area of your speech? Do you struggle? I'd like everybody to bow your heads and close your eyes. I would like you to come to a point of decision. How many of you would say, you know what, Willie? Through God's word, he spoke to my heart this morning. And there is some stuff that I've said and some stuff that I've done like this that I need to ask God to forgive me of, and I want to deal with that. How many of you would say, yeah, that's true of me? Raise your hand. Many of you. Now listen. The first thing that you need to do, because you need to get right with God in this. You can't just push God off and say, you know what, I'll deal with it later. Get right with God immediately. Go and say, and ask God to forgive you. Okay? Say, God, I have done this. And be specific with God. Say, God, you've spoken to my heart about this. Please forgive me. And he will. And then, if there is somebody in here that needs to ask somebody else to forgive you, if you've wronged somebody else, guys, asking God to forgive you is not, you're not done. We have a conscience void of offense before God and man. If that person is here, then you go to that person and say, listen, so-and-so, please forgive me. I've said things, I've done things that have hurt you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. guess what? Then you're done. Start on a conversation and a lifestyle that is pure and right. And start on having a lifestyle that the wise tongue controls you by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray. Father, thank you so much for the way you work in our hearts. We know it's your word that does it. I pray that you would help each one of us to have the wise tongue in what we say, Lord, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, not a wicked heart. In your name we pray.
You've been listening to The Conference Pulpit and one of our messages for the teens that we're sharing this week. Our speaker was Willie Pardon, and his message was on the tongue. And young person, as you've listened this evening, perhaps you've come to the realization that based on the kind of things that come out of your mouth, that perhaps you're not really saved, and you know you need to be saved. Or maybe you know that you haven't really been living for the Lord, and you need to dedicate your life to the Lord. You can discuss your need to trust Christ as Savior or to dedicate your life to the Lord with a biblical advisor in our chat ministry. The website address is bbnchat.org, and it's a private one-on-one conversation. bbnchat.org.
That concludes this online feature. We have an app for your smartphone. Just go to the App Store and download the BBN app free of charge.